Jesus had caught the attention of a huge crowd. They had seen him do wonderful things. They had probably heard about the things he'd been doing. And this crowd just seemed to keep growing and following after Jesus. They had seen him heal the son of a royal official. He wasn't even with the boy, and yet the boy's restored to health. They had heard of him going to the pool of Bethesda and there healing that invalid who'd laid beside the pool, hopeless and helpless for 38 years, and Jesus restores him to health and strength. And John, in this little passage which William read for us, simply records that people followed after him because they had seen these miraculous healings. They just wanted to see, was he going to do more? What's going on here? They were excited. They were curious. They were fascinated. And they followed after this Jesus to see what else would happen. But it seems as though Jesus needed to take some time out. Jesus heads off onto the mountainside with his disciples. And in those little verses, we get a lovely insight into the very humanity of Jesus. The Jesus who just needs to get away. The Jesus who just needs to shower his head, we would say. Have some peace and quiet with his disciples. It's good to know that we have a Savior who understands us, who has been where we are, who is fully human. And Jesus just wants to get aside. But the crowds follow him, even onto this mountainside where he just goes to be quiet with his close disciples. The crowds follow him there. And yeah, it's getting near mealtime. So Jesus turns to Philip. And almost winding him up says, Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? And you can imagine the panic. You can imagine Philip looking out and beginning to count all those and perhaps wondering what the catering committee are going to say if he tells them they've got at least 5,000 men to feed at lunchtime and can they rustle something up? The panic sets in. Philip looks around him, then looks back to Jesus and says, 8 months' wages would give everyone a bite. This is huge. This is a big ask. There's no way that we can do this. It's a sensible reaction. It's an understandable reaction. And I think we would probably have responded the same way if we were on that mountainside and Jesus had turned to you and said, how are we going to feed these folks? Would you go and get some bread for them? We would have said the same. It can't be done. It's a huge ask, Jesus. No way. And then we have these two wonderful people. You've got a boy, we don't know anything about him. He doesn't seem to appear again in scriptures as far as we know. And he's got a packed lunch with him. 5 little loaves, 2 fish. And as well as that little boy, you've got Andrew. Andrew, who is always bringing people to Jesus. Whenever you meet Andrew in the Gospels, he's always just bringing people to Jesus, bringing people to Jesus. And here he brings this little boy with his packed lunch to Jesus. Now, we're not told who took the initiative. Did the little boy come forward and say, we can have my lunch? I don't know. Did Andrew see it and think, wonder, could we do something with this? We don't know. Either way, it was offered probably without too much hope. How far will it go among so many? Asks Andrew. We pack lunch, big crowd. It's not going to go too far. They had heard the challenge of Jesus. Where do we get bread to feed this crowd? They'd heard the challenge. They had looked at what resources they thought they had, and they had decided it's not going to happen. Just can't be done. How little faith they had. Didn't they know about Jesus? Hadn't they already seen what he had done and what he could do? Hadn't they experienced his power to heal and restore? And yet they still didn't understand or trust him. And we're tempted to look at them and say, "Oh, ye of little faith." And of course, we would never behave in that way. Or would we? When Jesus calls us to follow him, often we look around and decide, no, it's just not going to happen. It's just not possible. Look at who I am. Look at the small gifts that I have. Look at the seed of potential in my life. It's just not going to happen. There's just not enough there. Jesus calls us to serve him in some particular way, and we decide, nah, that's not going to work. I could never do that. I could never be involved in that. I could never do what other people do as they serve God. And either as individuals or as a congregation, it is so very easy to lose sight of who is calling us, who is challenging us. And we decide, no, this is too big. This is too much. This is too challenging. This is too costly. Whatever it is, we decide it just can't be done. How far will it go among so many? And yet this is the God, Paul reminds us, who is able to do immeasurably more than all you can either ask or imagine. On that mountainside in Galilee, immeasurably more than anybody asked or imagined on that day. No one thought they were going to get fed, and yet they all went away satisfied. Immeasurably more than we can either ask or imagine. This is our God. And not only was the crowd fed, but we're told there were 12 baskets of scraps picked up afterwards. There was more than enough because of our God. There was immeasurably more than the disciples could either ask or imagine. And God hasn't changed. He still gives us all that we need to serve him. Sometimes we say, well, I'll serve God, or I'll do this, or I'll do this, whenever I have something, whenever I've done something else, whenever I've achieved something, whenever I am something, then I'll answer his call, then I'll respond to his challenge on my life. Whenever I have enough, then I'll respond to God. As though God can't do it. The people on that hillside looked around and they said, you know, if we had the food, we would feed them, but we can't. If we had the resources, we would give them, but we haven't. Can't be done. There's no way. And they missed out on this, the fact that this was the God who does immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. This is the God who in Jesus Christ, we're told, has given us every spiritual blessing, everything we need in Jesus Christ. And yet how often do we step back and say, well, whenever I'm ready, whenever I've achieved this, done that, got there, whenever I've got this out of the way, then I'll respond to God. The God who does more than enough. Paul often went through times in his life where he had nothing. Shipwrecked, prisoner, beaten, in the middle of riots in various cities. There were situations where he must have been right at the very bottom, and yet this same Paul can write, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So where is Jesus challenging you this morning? Is he challenging you to commit your life to him? That decision that you've been putting off until you've got everything sorted out, all your ducks in line, as we say. Whenever that happens, Lord, then I'll respond to you. Then I'll commit my life to you. Is Jesus calling you to step out in some new way? To serve him? Is he challenging you to step up to something new? And the temptation is to say, no, I don't have enough to do that. Is he speaking to us as a congregation, as we look at our mission in this area and we wonder what we're going to do, how we're going to cope with it, and we step back and say, you know what, we can't, we're not big enough for this challenge. This is the God who gives us more than enough in Jesus Christ. The God who has given us every spiritual blessing in Jesus. The God who does immeasurably more than we can either ask or imagine. This is the God who asks us to lay our lives at his feet. This is the God who calls us to step up to new challenges as we seek to serve and to honor him. This is the Jesus who takes that mustard seed of faith and does great things with it. When we trust him, when we obey him. Wonder what went through people's minds as they saw that little boy with his lunch and looked at the huge crowds. Did they think, what is Jesus up to now? What is God doing now? This is going to end badly. He's going to have egg in his face at the end of this one. Far from it. Far from it. Is God challenging you with this morning? People went away. Obviously, full. They'd left baskets of scraps over at the end. They went away. The stomachs that were full met the needs of the crowd. But Jesus knew that they needed much, much more than just a meal. Later on in this chapter 6, Jesus simply says, I am the bread of life. Not just bread for tummies, but bread for hearts. The really sad thing about this story as you read on through chapter 6 is people came, they saw what Jesus did, they saw his miraculous powers, they went away with full stomachs but empty hearts. John records that they just walked away. Stomachs full, hearts empty. It's easy to do. To take what God offers to us and ignore God. It's easy to reach out and hold on to God for what might be in his hand when he simply calls us just to hold his hand. The bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, said Jesus. Recognizing that without Jesus, there is this emptiness in our lives. There is this space that only Jesus fills. There is this question that only Jesus can answer. There is this purpose that only Jesus can give. The bread of life. The bread of life. When I was teaching in the school in Kenya, they had lunch, middle of the day,
Sometimes it was just a piece of bread. And I can remember watching some of the children eat a large slice of bread, and then they would tell me they hadn't eaten. And I would think, I saw you eat bread, you did eat. I said, no, they hadn't eaten ugali. Ugali was their staple diet. It was a maize meal. It was like thick porridge. If you can imagine porridge that you could slice, that's what ugali was like. And unless they had eaten ugali, they hadn't eaten. So they could eat bread all day, but they would still tell me, haven't eaten, because they hadn't eaten this ugali. There was an emptiness there that just couldn't be filled without the ugali. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. You can eat everything else around you, but unless you taste of me, you've not eaten. Jesus comes to give us this life in all its fullness, this gift of eternal life. And to go without Jesus is much, much worse than to go with an empty stomach. For to go without Jesus is to go into eternity without Jesus. And that is a terrible thought. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. In Jesus, there is more than enough. Will you take him at his word? He's speaking to you this morning about your commitment to him, about a new area that he wants you to step into. This is the Jesus who gives you more than enough, immeasurably more than you can either ask or imagine. And to him be the praise and the glory. Let's take a moment to pray together. Lord, in the stillness, speak to us, we pray. Lord, help us to hear the rumbling of our hearts, to acknowledge their emptiness, and then come, Lord Jesus, come. Fill us by your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Our children.